Hello. Thanks for checking out the Brassy Broadcast this week. I'm giddy to share my recent conversation with the fabulous Tish Ciravolo, founder of Daisy Rock Guitars, which are guitars that are designed for girls. Tish is on a mission to level the playing field for female musicians, and she's off to an inspiring start. She talks about growing the business, the challenges of convincing retailers that there is a market for girl guitars, and some great advice that she's received along the way. And this seems like the perfect time to share this conversation because I just finished up volunteering at Girls Rock Camp here in Indianapolis last week. And I can tell you, I've witnessed firsthand the power of putting guitars, drums, basses, keyboards, and microphones in the hands of young girls. It's like a tsunami of awesome and confidence that slowly builds throughout the week, and then it's unleashed at the showcase on Saturday when they get on stage with their bands and perform an original song that they've written. There's just nothing like it. If there's a Girls Rock Camp in your city, find out how you can get involved, or at least go to the showcase and support these young rock stars. So I hope you find inspiration in our conversation and take action to do something to inspire someone to write a lyric or pick up an instrument, or just provide a word of encouragement. It really does go a long way. And just a quick housekeeping note, iTunes is acting a little funky lately with podcasts, and it's only displaying 20 episodes. So if you dig this show and you don't want to miss an episode, go ahead and hit the subscribe button on iTunes, and a new episode will magically appear in your laptop or your mobile device whenever it's released. And if you really like the show, it would be super groovy if you would leave a rating review and then tell a friend about it. Now let's get to it. Hello, gorgeous. Welcome to the Brassy Broadcast, a weekly conversation where successful dames from across the music industry dish about the business of music. And honey, this ain't their first time at the rodeo. So take a load off, pour yourself a drink, and join the conversation. But first, here's a quick word from our sponsor. Hey, this is Jen from 317 Sound Design. I help content creators navigate the podcasting world, the next frontier in storytelling, education, and engagement. Visit 317sounddesign.com to schedule a free 15-minute strategy session and learn how you can get in the ears, heads, and hearts of your audience. Hello, gorgeous. Welcome to the Brassy Broadcast. I'm your host, Jen Eads, and today I get to chat with girl empowerer and rock and roll entrepreneur, Tish Ciravolo, founder of Daisy Rock Guitars. Tish, welcome to the show.
Why, thank you so much for having me.
And this is such great timing for me to get to talk to you as this week kicks off the Girls Rock Indie Camp. And I have to tell you that Daisy Rock guitars are always in demand in the guitar instruction room, and everyone loves the purple sparkle.
I am so happy to hear that. You know, we sponsor and try to support every single Girls Rock camp out there. I'm a true believer, and that's exactly how you do it. That's exactly how girls learn, and that's exactly where our next rock stars will come from.
Well, we certainly appreciate your support.
Yay!
And just so everyone knows, Tish is the mother of two daughters, and she founded Daisy Rock Guitars back in 2000 to level the playing field for dedicated female guitarists and bassists. And to this date, Daisy Rock has put over 200,000 guitars in the hands of female players, and some dudes from what it looks like on the website.
Of course, you know, as soon as you build something for the girls, all the guys have to line up and no, I'm teasing. It's really, you know, one of the biggest compliments I ever got was from Robert Smith from The Cure, who was like, this is a wonderful idea. How come no one had done this before is kind of how most men look at it. But then again, I have guys, you know, like Robin Zander from Cheap Trick and Jimmy Page from a little known band called Led Zeppelin.
Oh, yeah.
He says basically, you know, a smaller neck profile is such an easier guitar to play. And but yeah, as soon as you make something really fun and sparkly, all the guys are like, wait a second. They all want to be rock stars.
Exactly. So what was it that sucked you into the music industry?
Well, I got to tell you, when I was growing up in the 70s, the only thing that I ever saw on television was Susie Quattro on Happy Days as Leather Tuscadero.
I remember that.
Yeah. And she was like, she was so hot. And she did this thing on like where she'd hit the bass and do like this shotgun thing with her hand. And I was like, oh my God, that's the coolest thing ever. But it really kind of goes back to seventh grade for me when me and my best friend, Barbara, we were so in love with the Hardy Boys and we couldn't figure out how we were going to grow up and, you know, meet the Hardy Boys. And all we knew is that Barbara's older sister, Ann, played guitar. And because she played guitar, all the guys thought she was really cool. So we thought, wow, we'll learn how to play guitar. Then all the guys will think that we're really cool too. It was like that basic for me.
That is so awesome.
It's like the same for every guy, you know. Yeah. Every guy says, yeah, I learned how to play guitar to get the girls. Well, you know, sometimes girls do the same thing. So
yeah, to get the Hardy Boys.
Oh my God. And so we did that. We learned how to play guitar. And then I saw Susie and I was like, that's the bass just spoke to me after I saw her play it. And then I think my next, you know, the next thing I saw on television was the Go-Go's on Saturday Night Live. And that was like the first time I thought, oh my gosh, all girls play all the instruments by themselves in a band. It was my first impression of, wow, I could do this too.
Isn't it amazing how just actually seeing someone doing what you want to do, it's like, oh, then that is totally possible.
Exactly.
That is awesome. So what's your career path been like and have you kind of gotten to where you are now?
Well, there's the career before I started Daisy Rock. I was in a lot of bands in Los Angeles. One of the biggest bands I hit was with an all-female heavy metal band called Lipstick. And we had a billboard on the side of the Roxy. And we ruled the strip for about 4 years. And nice. But I played in a lot of bands in LA. I played in a punk rock band. I played in an alternative band. So I was always just kind of finding my way as a musician. And I kind of did that in my, you know, 20s. And then I met my husband who was working at a retail store on Sunset Boulevard. And then he became president of Schecter Guitars. And then when our oldest daughter, who was one, did the drawing of the Daisy, that's when I presented it to him and showed him this drawing she had done and said, you know what we should do? We should make guitars for girls. And he had seen how I'd gone through all of this discrimination and sexism as a female musician, always, you know, walking into music stores and always being asked, you know, what guy was within the band, never being treated like a female musician, going to sound checks and having our girl band not even be allowed to sound check because we were the girl band.
Oh my God.
It was just, and this was, you know, commonplace. This is the early 90s, late 80s, and this is just how girls are treated. And everybody right. kind of accepts it as this is just how it is. And I really wanted to change the idea of how society viewed girls and playing guitar. Really, with this drawing my daughter did and then making the very first girl guitar, the idea was born of how do you change society? You start with the product and then you start putting the product in the stores and you start with the mindset of the people that are selling them. And so that's how we launched Daisy Rock Girl Guitars, but really was like to inspire more girls to learn how to play guitar, but also to try to change society's idea of what a girl that plays guitar is.
Right. So what was the tipping point for you to actually take action? Because, you know, a lot of times we're like, oh, I've got this really awesome idea. And then that's all it ever stays. It's just this awesome idea that never comes to fruition. Was there a tipping point that actually forced you to say, no, it might sound a little crazy, but we're going to do this?
It was. I did the Rocker Girl Conference with Carla DeSantis in November of 2000. And that was my first trade show. And I took six of my prototypes. And she really convinced me to pay the money to go and do. I really didn't have the money, but she really convinced me it was a big thing to do. And I showed up. There was about 2,000 women there. And I just wanted to see how it was embraced. And I really noticed right away that it was embraced. And you know, even though I had detractors from the very beginning, I had women come up to me going, how dare you propel the myth of pink and Barbie in the guitar world? And I was like, wait a second, I'm only doing this to get younger girls to learn how to play. And if it inspires a girl, what's the problem? I mean, we all win. If one more girl learns how to play guitar because of a guitar I designed, we all win. It's not holding anybody back is kind of, it was my argument. And then when I went to leave the Rocker Girl Conference and I went to ship my guitars back to LA, they disappeared. And I had to go back to the Roosevelt Hotel and find out what had happened to the guitars. And two of their security guards had put them in laundry baskets and wheeled them out of the hotel and
Seriously?
Stole them. And I was like, okay, so if somebody's willing to put their job on the line and get fired to steal my prototypes, I must have something going here.
That is a great story.
And then I did my first NAMM. My first NAMM was really the kickoff of, you know, how is the public going to respond to it? And the people in my industry going to respond to it? And a thousand times that weekend, you know, a guy would walk by and go, oh, girl guitars, no one's going to care. No one's going to sell them. No one's going to stop. And then 5 minutes later, he'd be dragged back to the booth by his girlfriend or his wife or his daughter or his niece going, daddy, mommy, look, look, you got to see this. I got to get this. This is a girl guitar. And that was my first inclination that I could change society.
Yeah.
It would actually change the idea that these guys all had, that it just wasn't going to work. And then the next NAMM I went back to a year later, everybody had pink guitars. So,
no kidding.
So I knew right then we had hit on something, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and I've been lucky enough to attend NAMM a couple of times, and it's just, it's overwhelming.
Oh, yeah.
So to actually have people, you know, getting drugged back to your booth, yeah, you know you're onto something then.
Well, because there was nothing, think about it, 2000, 2001, there wasn't anything for girls.
No.
You know, that's what I kept saying to the NAMM people. It's like, oh, you don't really have anything here specifically for girls. And now there's a lot more places that girls feel like they can hang out and go to booths and see things that inspire them. And I'm not saying that because you're a girl, you're inspired by Just Pink, but having it just be more of a friendly environment and having, you know, any kind of product that's there for a girl to actually feel like she can sit down and play the piano, or it was just so male driven. So I really feel like they've changed that idea. Like they're now trying to sell and market to all the different people that they can, not just, you know, the boys or the girl or the rock stars.
Well, and I'm guessing that the women in your booth were actually wearing clothes. not two-piece bikinis.
Oh yeah. You know, my husband's president of Schecter Guitars, and there's an understanding that we have that in order for him to sell his guitars, he gets these Jägermeister girls that are scantily clad, passing out Jäger shots. It's just a different marketing ploy than what I do with Daisy Rock, because it's so counterintuitive to what I do with Daisy Rock.
Yeah. So how do you find inspiration for new guitar designs?
You know, it's, I have more, it's probably my daughter. So sorry, my daughter just came and like started making faces at me because I'm home. You know, it's like, you know, that thing where I have so many ideas, I can't get to do them all. You know, I love flowers. And so that's one of the reasons why we've done, you know, daisies. And then, you know, we have the ladybug and the shamrock and the heart and the butterflies. I mean, it just is what it is. There's so much more out there I could do, you know, given the funds and the time.
Mm-hmm. What's been your biggest seller?
Well, you know, we always are considered the queen of pink sparkle. So no matter if we come out with the Skull and Roses guitar or the Super Guitar Hero guitar, and I go out there on a ledge and kind of do some different things outside of the industry, it still always is our biggest seller is pink sparkle, because there's still that 7, 8, 9-year-old girl out there that is going to learn how to play guitar. And that's what's speaking to her.
How have you grown the company and really created brand awareness?
It's really been guerrilla marketing. I'm very fortunate to be based in Los Angeles. And then I have really great, strong relationships with prop houses in town. And because we're here and there's a lot of filming here, I just really try to make sure my guitars are in spotlights for any kind of TV show that's coming out for girls that play guitar. We're usually the first stop for any of the shows that you see. If someone on The Voice or American Idol or anybody like that's looking for a girl that plays guitar, we're usually the first people they come to. Because now that I've created an industry for girl guitarists, I'm now the authority on girl guitarists.
Yes.
So, but that's really how I just continue to grow the brand, is to make sure that if a girl's on television, she's holding a Daisy Rock, even if they don't allow her always to talk about the brand. People know it now just by, it's been, you know, what I'm trying to say is I've been in the business 15 years. So now people recognize it. So I'm not having to always, you know, put it up the flagpole and go, this is the name. This is the name. People are actually recognizing it.
Oh, that's fantastic. So where do you see Daisy Rock heading in the future?
You know, when we started, we determined that the guitar population was about 4% female. We now know that to be a little bit closer to 25%. My ultimate goal has always been to level the playing field and have as many girl guitar players out there as guy guitar players. So we're still on that trend. That's kind of what our mission will always be.
Cool. That's a great mission.
Thank you.
So what's your superpower? Because you've obviously got a lot going on running this company and, you know, turning all these young ladies and even older ladies into guitar players. So what is that superpower that you bring to the table that allows you to do that? And is it something that you were born with, or did you have to learn it?
I think it's a choice every day. It's bringing joy. You know, that's what I'm doing is I have an 8-year-old girl that walks in my office that's playing 3 chords, trying to figure out what to do with her life. And I'm giving her so much positive joy that she walks away feeling like I can do this for the rest of my life. And I'm doing that also with this 60-year-old woman that walks into my office that's a phenomenal guitar player and is beaten down by our industry because she hasn't gotten the recognition she deserves. And I'm telling her, no, this is what you are. This is what you have to do. And I'm giving her as much joy to go out and conquer that the very next day that, and still continue to play. So I think if I was to say what my superhero power is, it's just to bring love and joy to others so they feel like they can continue on with what they're trying to achieve in music.
That is a fantastic superpower. We all need that, you know?
Thank you. Thank you. It's not, you know this. It's not always easy to get up and have a cup of coffee and cheer people on. But I want to be, if you're playing a guitar and you're a girl, I want to be your cheerleader. And that should be what I should do.
Oh, yeah. I want to be that too. I think there's a lot of us out there now that really want to encourage, especially the younger generation, like that we see at Girls Rock Camp, like give them the confidence and the tools to go out and be that person.
Right.
Is there a mentor that you had along the way?
There's a lot of people that I've looked up to and talked to. I think Carol Peters, who is the manager of Heart, was somebody that was really instrumental to me in my earlier, 2004, 2005. With me really trying to conquer the industry. She's such a great person, and to see what she had done with the band Heart.
Mm-hmm.
She's older than I am, and she's just really full of wisdom. And then of course there's Vicki Peterson from the Bengals, who is always somebody that I can bounce stuff off of that's lived in this industry and seen all sides of it, the ups and the downs and the famous and the not famous. And she's such an inspiration to me. So I would say that they're my two mentors in this business. And I can't say that it hasn't been guys. My husband's my biggest cheerleader. This Daisy Rock is here because of him. And I'll always give him that recognition. He worked at a guitar company. He knew a luthier. He knew how to take a drawing to, up to a plank of wood and make it a guitar.
Wow.
And then, Robert Smith, one of the very first people that came on board and really cheered us on to do this, and that saying, you will be successful with this and this will make a difference. And because in the beginning, when you start a company, you have all these fears and doubts and does it really matter? And is anybody going to care? And, I got a couple samples and all my friends came over and I was like, do your daughters like this? And they were like, I like this. I want one. So, but yeah, along the way, my husband's probably been my biggest mentor just to know how to run a business, how to run a guitar business, and he's a marketing genius. So,
oh, that's great to have that support just in your house, like literally in-house support.
Right. It is. It has its downfalls. It's really hard. I used to be with part of Schecter Guitars and I got out of that in 2003 and went over to Alfred Music, and I've got a great support system over there with Alfred, but at some point at 11 o'clock at night, when you're in the jacuzzi and you're still talking guitars, you have to unplug it from your marriage.
Yeah.
It can't be 24/7 year in and year out. You have to kind of step back from that and then have a married life and then have a parent's life together,
What would you say is the best advice that you've ever received, whether it's personal or professional, and who gave it to you and how have you used it in your own life?
Wow. That's a really good question. The best advice and who gave it to me, I wouldn't know. I don't know if I would have like just one specific person. And it's, I wish it was like, oh yeah, Jack Black came up to me and said, there is a time in my life in 1986 when I am frustrated and I don't know what to do. And I was doing stand-up comedy and I called a friend of mine, Brian Setzer from the Stray Cats, because I had interviewed him when I was in college, and then he ended up marrying my roommate in college, and they've since been divorced and they had a child and stuff, but we were really good friends at that time. And I was just remember standing on Melrose Avenue on a payphone, kind of because that's what was around then.
Yeah.
Spouting off to him like, I don't know what I'm going to do with my life. And he is such a great guy. And he kind of said, Tish, pick up the bass and just play in bands and get over it. Like, stop. It's that thing about where you go, stop complaining and just do.
Yeah.
And when somebody of that caliber tells you that, yes, you can be what I am. Just stop saying you want to do it and just do it. It really rang true for me. And so I did. I went and got a bass and started playing in punk rock bands. And And, but, you know, I've had a lot of different advice in a lot of different areas for like how to run a guitar business and how to keep it going. And, you know, I think that's the, if I would have to say the best advice though would be that just, you know, get off your soapbox and put pen to paper. It's like that thing that writers always have a problem with is, you know, they always talk about, they want to write stuff, but then it's like, you have to sit down and write if you're going to be a writer. So.
Exactly. Is there anything that you wish you would have known that you've learned since starting the company that you wish you would have known when you first started out? And how would that have impacted the company development?
There is a naivety that goes with starting a business about just how much control banks have over you. And I know that 15 years later. And if I would have known that 15 years ago, I probably would have set it up differently than I did. But you have this, when you start a business, you just have this, I'm going to conquer the world, climb the mountain, get to the top. And I did all that. But then 15 years later, I recognized that if I would have had more funding in the beginning, that things would have had a better flow over. Mm-hmm. And so there's been some, you know, really high highs and really low lows, and that's the financial side of it. So, and that's just like a word of advice to any girl or anybody that's going to go into business, know what your money, what your funding needs to be going forward, and have a really good understanding of how the banking system works and loans work. And that's really boring, 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 soul killing stuff to know.
Yes. But it's such a great segue into my next question, which is, was there a time when somebody said, you know, you had this bold idea and they were like, Tish, have you lost your freaking mind? This is never going to work. Like, even when you took your business plan to the bank, were they like, girl, guitars, who's going to buy that?
Right. It was a really hard sell, but it wasn't the banks that I had a problem with. It really was the buyers at music stores. You know, when I very first started, I was doing consignment. I was like, listen, put this in your window. You're going to attract a crowd into your store that you've never had. A buyer, a female's going to come in that's never thought to walk into your music store before. And I did that all based on faith, on my own faith. And, mm-hmm. and it happened. And still to this day, you know, Guitar Center had me come out a couple years ago and talk to 600 of their employees about how do you sell a guitar to a girl? You know, which the punchline always is, you know, the same way you sell it to a guy.
Yeah.
You just don't treat her so differently, because that's what they do in music stores. They treat girls so differently.
Oh,
they
yeah.
ignore them. They don't act like they're a player. They don't act like they're a musician. So it really, you know, the biggest doubters I had were the buyers. And I can't say that that's any different 15 years later. We're still knocking down these doors and still trying to convince the new, because everybody goes through these cycles where everybody gets fired and then there's new people and you're back to square one with them saying, no, girls will buy guitars, I promise you. So that was probably the hardest, you know, it wasn't really getting the funding and finding how to make the company financially solvent. It was getting the buyers to buy the guitars and then teaching them how to market the guitars and then teaching them how to sell a guitar in the store. You know, that's been the biggest hill that we've had to climb. I would do things like I would give like a quiz to the employees at a music store, and whoever got the 3 right out of 4 questions on how to sell a guitar to a girl would get a Starbucks gift card, because they just, you know, what's a girl guitar? Well, I don't know. It's pink. Well, it's more than it's pink. You know, it's lighter in weight. It has a slim neck profile. Even though they come in these really fun and funky colors and stuff, it's not really what the guitar is about. It's supposed to be easier to play for a girl. And you would not believe how many times we've had to teach people those things, and we still will. It won't stop. You know what I'm saying?
Oh yeah. God, I would have been so grateful to have that, even to have that option when I first started out, like in the 5th grade. And I still have freakishly small hands. So I'm very grateful for those thinner necks.
And think about if you would have had that support system, if your mom would have taken you to a music store and somebody there would have said, oh, you like guitar? Here, let me show you a few things about guitar, and treated you like it was a violin or a piano or a clarinet. If it would have had the same energy to it as that. And that's when I go back and say about society's ideas, not just us telling these girls that they should learn how to play guitar. It's us explaining to the parents and the moms out there how important it is to give them the option to learn how to play guitar.
Absolutely. And I believe that you are the first TED Talker that I've had the pleasure of having on the show. So what was that TED Talk experience like for you?
Okay, so TED Talks was really intense and really grateful that I was asked to come and do it, because now I'm starting to book myself as a motivational speaker, because I want to go out and talk to colleges and high school students and women's organizations about this mission and this goal that I have in my life. But
cool.
TED Talks was off the hook. I got to tell you, you know, they put me with like the guy who takes algae and turns it into oil.
Oh my God. That's not intimidating.
I know. So like there's, you know, four people that scheduled for the day and I'm like the third, and it's the guy who goes into earthquake countries that had really bad earthquakes and then goes on this special recon unit to get people that have like broken bones and fix them on the spot.
Oh my
I'm
gosh.
Right after him.
Nice.
I'm like, I walk out. I'm like, okay, so I don't know how to change anything to oil. I don't fix the broken bones. But hey, I got this really cute story about girls should play guitar.
Oh, that's awesome.
So, and it was really funny because they do this thing where then they have all the speakers afterwards and they let everybody in the audience come up and talk to the speakers. And my ego is a little bit at play here because all of a sudden all the people came over and talked to me. And I was like, you should go talk to the guy that's like the scientific nerd.
Yeah, yeah.
He's smart.
It's rock and roll, baby. Everybody loves rock and roll.
It was pretty funny. And everybody has their story about, you know, my sister was going to play guitar. My daughter wanted to play guitar. My mom used to play guitar in the 60s and nobody cared. You know, everybody has these life stories about girls and guitars because it's been so infrequent in our society.
So what do you hope is your legacy then?
Well, I created a product that changes girls' lives and brings them joy every day. And that's my legacy today. And
that's pretty good.
Anything happens to me today, I know that I walk off this planet going, I created something that changed lives, that made people happy. And that's a big, I mean, I had a girl in my office 2 days ago that's 15 playing the guitar. I had a girl in my office 2 weeks ago, 9 years old, playing guitar. And their whole thing was, I want to come meet Tish Cirovolo because she's the one that started Girls Guitars for Girls. And that's really my legacy, is that these girls are inspired to learn how to play guitar and they're finding their muse in themselves to write music and come out with their soul through music. And it's because of a piece of wood that I designed. And that's a hell of a thing. It is a hell of a thing.
That is fantastic. I just love that so much.
I do too.
What has been, because it sounds like, you know, you get kind of these mind-blowing experiences on a weekly basis of young girls walking into your office and just giving you that feedback, which I can't even imagine. But what's been the most mind-blowing thing that's happened so far because of the work that you've done in the music industry?
I think one of my biggest moments was at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Wanda Jackson got inducted. She played a Daisy Rock guitar. She used to play with Elvis. She's the queen of rockabilly. And she stopped playing guitar. And then when I started Daisy Rock, she heard about me, the very first artist that heard about me, and came to see me and asked for a guitar. And she said, I can play guitar again because of the guitars that you've designed. And then she got inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and played our Daisy Rock Pink Acoustic Wildwood Wanda Jackson Signature Series guitar along with Metallica and Jeff Beck on stage. And there was a moment where I went, oh my God, this is it. You know, like,
oh my God.
Like, it doesn't get any better than this, that she's playing that guitar on stage. I think my second dream has always been, of course, that there's a girl that wins a Grammy and says, I started playing guitar because of Daisy Rock. And I know that that will happen. I know that that will happen.
Absolutely. Wow. That, yeah, that hell, that just blew my mind. That's a great story.
Thank you.
Oh my gosh. So I've recently started putting together playlists on Spotify to go along with each of the Brassy Broadcast episodes, since we do talk about music. Like, kind of just makes sense. So what are you listening to these days and finding inspiration in?
Okay. There's always a big fight inside. There's an internal fight about the music that I love and the music that's today. I have two teenage daughters, so they're always turning me on to, like, I'll constantly be saying, like, oh my God, who's that? And they're like, ugh, Mom, it's Iggy. How many times do I have to tell you? You know? So, and there's a lot of really great, Florence and the Machine is like an awesome band. I love the early 90s stuff. I love the Elasticas and the Veruca Salts and Throwing Muses. And I love The Cure. My husband and I are very much like, you know, alternative goth people. When we listen to music, we listen to The Cure and the Psychedelic Furs and The Church. And so I have like, and then there's that heavy metal side, because I played heavy metal music. So you know, you can throw me in some Black Sabbath and some Motley Crue. And, you know, I'm like right into that too. And Cheap Trick is a really fun band. I love to go see them. It's a lot of the music that I listen to is defined by my age, and I understand that. I tried to listen to, like Hozier came out, and I just loved the stuff that my daughter was listening to from them. So they're really my key to, you know, what's new and what's out there. And did I answer your question? I have to think.
Yeah, that's great. We're going to have a hell of a playlist for this show. It's going to be great. So what's revving your creative engines right now? What new projects are you working on?
Well, right now we are at Summer NAMM. It's happening in Nashville today. Started yesterday. It's today and tomorrow. So we have a couple of Days of Rec artists that's performing. We are being represented in the Alfred Music Booth. And so there's a lot of buzz happening for us right now because of Summer NAMM. Like I said before, I've launched a motivational speaking career. I've been working on my sizzle reel for that. I expect to be out in doing some college campuses, you know, early next year, and pretty much all of next year, I'm going to be really concentrating on doing that. I think that the smartest thing I can do now is to start to get out and tell people about my company that's outside of my industry, because in the music industry, in the NAMM show, I'm the queen of pink. Everybody knows Stacey Rock now because I've been doing it for 15 years, and they know I'm the one that has the pink fur on the wall and the chandeliers and the giant cakes and bring the girl guitars, you know? So now, really, my goal is to get outside to other parts of the industry and start talking about Daisy Rock and why it's important and why it's changed society. And it's kind of what's driving my engine these days. Besides the fact that I'm a writer, and me and my girlfriend just finished our first screenplay, and we are writing television shows and films that show girls playing guitar in a positive spotlight.
Oh, that's fantastic. I can't wait to see some of those on TV.
Yes, please.
So what's the best way for our listeners to connect with you and stay up to date on all this awesomeness that you've got going on?
Yeah, just do the daisyrock.com because it's got our Facebook page, our YouTube, you know, our Pinterest, our Instagram. It's all sitting there. So if you go into daisyrock.com, and we usually have a splash page in the front that says what's new we're doing. Like right now we're working with American Idol, and we're doing private showcases for 20 of our top Daisy Rock artists through American Idol. So we always have something going on. Every day is kind of changing, but DaisyRock.com, and you'll see what it is.
All right. And I will have a link to DaisyRock.com in the show notes so people can get right there. So Tish, thank you so much. This was just like such a huge thrill for me to get to chat with you today.
It was thrilling for me. I'm so glad you got in touch with me, and I love your broadcast. It's awesome.
Well, Brassy Bastion, my glass is empty and my head is full. You can swing by BrassyBroad.com to check out the show notes with links to any websites and resources we mentioned. And if you like what you hear, subscribe and share it with anyone else you think would dig it. That's how we build the community. The conversation continues on the Brassy Broad Facebook page and at Brassy Broad Jen on Twitter. I would love to hear from you. Until next week, be brazen, be bold, and rock on.